Radio 3 with Little Kids. It's 13 minutes past 12. Good to say hello to Morris Misalowski in Melbourne. How are you doing today, Morris?
It's good to say hello to Phil in Hong Kong.
Absolutely. Watches are back on the agenda. Why will they not let go of this notion? I'm reminded of when I was about 13 and I got my first digital watch and it was this piece of junk and you had to do all sorts of things just to tell the time. It strikes me we're going in a big retro circle here. Apple have jumped on the wagon.
Yeah, we have. I mean, you're right. We haven't, as a society, we're wearing less and less watches, or we did. Kids did anyway. I haven't worn a watch for about 10 years or so.
And
we seem to be going back to them. You're absolutely right. I mean, this is a nostalgia trip. I don't know whether you remember, but back in the 70s, well, I think it was the 80s, the old Casio watch.
Yep.
I mean, that was...
And you even had to press a button to get it to tell you the time.
Yeah, I mean, well, it couldn't tell you the time. That was about the worst thing it did. But that was a great piece of kit. And now, we started last year, really, with the Apple watches and the Samsung watches. It was last year they all came out. And the reason we're talking about it is that somewhere in the next couple of weeks, Apple is likely to make an announcement about Apple Watch 2 and what's going to be in it. And it's always fun. There's a lot of sport online about any Apple announcement and what might be in their next piece of kit.
Do you know what I reckon the fundamental thing is here? You know, whenever anybody brings out anything wearable, we had the glasses, we've got watches, they need to get over this thing about it makes you look stupid. If they can make these things totally normal looking, people won't make fun of you and beat you up for being a nerd.
Yeah, I agree. But the watch is a bit easier because lots of people do wear them, even though I've admitted I don't. The problem with the watch is the Apple Watch especially was tethered to the Apple phone. You had to have one to have the other one.
Of course.
And that to me was just a lost or a missed opportunity. I mean, first of all, you had to have an Apple phone. If you don't have one, well, you couldn't buy it. And then it had to be tethered. It was all the things about dropping out. And it wasn't, I mean, to my mind, it wasn't a great experience. Now, I know some people that own them and love them, but they're even more serious geeks than I am.
What about this notion of not releasing something until it's totally blend-inable?
Yeah, what would be the fun in that?
I suppose so, but I mean, the glasses is the obvious one.
Yeah, look, the glasses was a big push all the way through. On the other side of it, it seems obvious to say it, but you and I chatted about this when they were still supposedly big. It just didn't make sense. It still doesn't make sense to me to wear them. You know, virtual reality where you put a headset on does make sense because you're not walking around the street. You've gone to have that experience, so you're putting the headset on and you're playing. But walking around the street with a pair of glasses you don't have to wear and it telling you things just doesn't make sense from a human viewpoint.
It doesn't at all. What about this, though? We're talking about two things here that are very old, not even technology. They're very old engineering. So in order to use certain pieces of kit, we have to wear a watch. And the glasses, I mean, you know, in terms of having short-sightedness and stuff, there are lots of things people can have done today, at the very least lenses. So they're forcing us back into really old stuff.
Yeah, they are. And on the spectacles, the glasses, there was an announcement I read last week of a new manufacturer who is making the glass so it's autofocus and autofocuses the whole time for you. So even they're playing around, and I've seen some 3D printed spectacles as well that prints to your face, size, shape and desire. So people are playing around with those old form factors. Look, the watch I think will take off. If you really want to point the finger for the watch, you got to go back to Dick Tracy. I think that's where it all started. That many of us watched that cartoon. I know I was guilty of it. We talked into our watch and we thought that was just incredible.
Well, also the Gerry Anderson stuff as well.
Yeah. Look, I had, not being smart about it, but I had a watch about 10 years ago, literally. I picked it up in China, don't ask how and where. And it rang. I had never gotten a phone call on it. I wore it for about 6 months, so I never got a call on it. And I was in a retail shop buying bread for the family and the phone went off. The watch went off and the entire shop turned around and I was so embarrassed.
But they thought it was theirs.
It was just incredible. So I'm sitting there talking to my watch, being watched by the entire shop. It just doesn't seem to feel right, and it still doesn't. Look, having said that, Apple Watch must probably, we don't know for sure, but it sold about 11, some between 11 and 15 million in its first year, depending on who you believe. So lots of people want it. This next one will, of course, with Apple, be better, bigger, brighter, and it will most probably sell 15 mil to 20 mil units. So they'll certainly give it a good crack, but I think we're a couple of years, a couple of generations off before it's anything that's almost useful.
See, the first thing that it had against it was you had to use it in conjunction with another piece of kit. That's like this old telephone, the teen day scenes where you had to have a pager and a telephone and stuff.
Yeah.
What, get rid of that, and you might be in business? What do you think?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's where Samsung and some of the others have headed. Apple will go there too. It's not that they don't know how to do it. It's not that they don't know they should do it. It's the technology to make it happen all drains battery life and takes size. And at this stage, unless something comes out, which we don't know, and that's usual with Apple, at this stage there's no real conversation about how you can bury all of what's needed inside of a small watch to give it its own portability. Now, it may do. In fact, I think they'll go towards it. We know it'll have a better life, a better battery life. We know it'll be faster. We know it'll most probably carry more apps on board by itself. So there are some things we're fairly certain about because they got canned last time. But there's also things we don't know. See, the GPS, the watch is a really great example of somebody that, for somebody that runs or does sport. The only problem is, as you've said and we've said, you've got to carry your phone to get the app to do the things you want to do. Well, why would you carry two things when you're running?
And also, anybody who runs or goes to the gym will probably say, well, where the heck do you put your phone if you're doing cardio and it doesn't fall out of your pants or your sleeve?
Well, and that would be a terrific reason to have the phone, which is why Fitbit and others have worked really well over the last year or so. Because it's one piece of kit, it kind of is fit for purpose, and that's it. Look, it's technology you and I will talk about for a while. It will get better and better. Eventually, there will be a phone buried into it, and we will wear them, or we'll have a phone, one or the other. But it's still got a way to go.
Well, here's one for you. Do you get the impression that this innovation is... Let's stay with that particular company. Do you get the impression that innovation is coming easy, fast and furious to them, or do you think they're having meetings saying, right, boys, what should we do next? Anybody got an idea?
I think they've still got some big ideas left to do. There are some things that Apple wants. Look, I don't know them intimately. I think that they are not as purposeful as they once were. It's not about Steve Jobs. It's really about the era that he was around in. There were lots of new innovations, lots of new thinking to be had, and he was the kind of person that could pull ideas from nowhere. There doesn't seem to be that kind of a person inside of them. They come out with a product. It's not wonderful. It's really good, but it's not wonderful. It's not Steve Jobs' aha moment. And we need to find one of those with them. And this watch was going to be it. I'm not sure it is. We talked about Apple TV, and that also is good, but it's not great. There seems to be a lot of these good but not greats coming out.
Is it fair to say then, Morris, that the best ideas, the best innovation comes when a particular technology is in its relative infancy?
I think so. When there's something is around that hasn't been used in a particular way, and if we keep picking on Steve Jobs, it's what he did really well. He didn't invent MP3. He didn't invent carrying music around. But he saw the possibility of squeezing music down, which we've argued, of course, defeats the sound of it. We know that. But for most people, it's still fine. Squeeze the music down and put it into a form that's really easy to use, which was the iPhone. I mean, it just seemed obvious afterwards. And the best technology to me is that it's something that makes our lives much easier. It seems obvious and is really easy to use.
Yeah, do you categorize your stuff into what we really need, what we like to have, or what's pretty nice if it happens? Do you kind of categorize things?
Yeah,
that
I
way?
Do. I work on that basis, but I work even smaller than that. For me, it's really a matter of human nature. I don't think that we've really evolved since we were put on the earth. There are things inside of us that we want, things inside of us that we enjoy. And if you look back in history, all we've done is to reinvent those. So for me, often when I'm using or looking at a technology, I go back to figure out what's the core human trait it's trying to solve. And have we evolved on that? And if we have, then it's likely to be something that's useful. If it's something that's just too weird and wacky and we've really never even thought about needing it, it must probably going to take a while to cook.
Can you think of anything off the top of your head that you think really could, I mean, really needs to be developed because it really could help things a lot, but it's still floating around?
Look, I think artificial intelligence is around now. We really need to get far better at it. We're going to have to figure out potable water, how to get water across the globe, because we're going to run out of it with 2 billion more people coming on. There are lots of things that we know we have to resolve that we haven't yet figured out a way to do it. So we're not at the end of the journey by any means.
Let's try and stick to the things for starters here that we think humankind needs. Well, obviously the area of disease and medicine, that's got to be the primo one.
Yeah, health is a really big one. There's a lot of good work being done around health. Over the last 100 years or so, we've extended life for most places on Earth, and we've done that without technology, often by better hygiene, better food, better sanitation. Lots of places on Earth that's not true, but for many it is. we're now learning about the human brain through the Genome Project. We're learning how the body works. So we'll see some really interesting innovations. We see every day in the press these conversations about a cure for some type of cancer being within a decade. I think a number of them are true, a number of them are still not there. But it's kind of like polio and tuberculosis for me. 100 years ago, they were ravaging the planet, and it didn't seem we would ever be able to contain them. And now, thankfully, in most places, they're history.
So sticking with disease and medicine, does that mean the area that really people might be going nuts to develop is nanotechnology?
Nanotechnology is really a delivery method. Certainly, there's a lot of work being done in it. Nanotechnology allows you to go inside the body and to do things. You can place bots, which are really small micro robots, into a body, and you can deliver medicine to a specific target. You could do not chemotherapy, but the equivalent of to a specific cell. So there's certainly work being done on that. But stem cell, for instance, now is really a big conversation about what they're finding it can do. There's a lot of work being done around people's hearing, eyesight. There's some really good innovation in both of those spaces over the next few years. So there's a lot for us to do, but I, for the first time in humankind, I think that we're going to resolve a lot of these issues in the next 50 years or so, and we haven't been able to in the last thousands of years.
See, a lot of this stuff is not what it does for us, it's how it impacts things around us. And I noticed you did an article on your Business Futurist site about work habits. And basically, you were probably just saying, how long will the 9-to-5 still exist? So we're getting the tools to change our work habits. Give me a little ABC of what you wrote about.
Yeah, so the reality is, based on what we've spoken, is that I think that most of us in developing nations will live to 120, and our kids will live to 150. What that does is it means, of course, we have to work longer because we have to sustain ourselves and for interest. So we'll work until we're 100. Remember, this is a futurist. This is not next year. This is 5, 10, 15 years from now. We also know that our population...
Does that include us, Morris?
Well, I hope I'm retired and the two of us are having a beer somewhere. But, I mean, we're still around. I just don't know what we're doing then. But the reality is that means that for many of us, we're going to have to find a way to work that sustains us through that lifetime. 9-to-5 just doesn't work for many people anymore. It's all about this flexible work. And I know some industries, some people... It doesn't work for, it's not supposed to, but others it does. So the whole nature of work, what work is, where and when we do work is all changing. And the biggest question for me is the question of, I don't believe that we have enough work for everybody on this planet. And we still have to give everybody the right and the privilege of having a quality of life. So how are we going to do that? And some countries are playing around with the notion of a wage for life. So we've got to try something. I mean, I'm not saying that's the answer, but we're going to have to readdress this whole work thing because it's not going to carry us through.
So this is your speculation, you thinking it through, but this adds another thing to our list here. So if people are supposed to be able-bodied and working longer, et cetera, et cetera, it's not just disease and medicine. It's also about protection and regeneration of our bits and pieces.
And that's why gerontology is such a big area in medicine now, because we know that Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and other diseases that are predominantly linked to living longer, we're seeing more of them. And we're seeing more of them because more people live to that age now. It's likely that as we stretch the organic, because we are organic, human body, that we will see other diseases that we've not really had to cope with before. So yes, we will have to resolve a whole lot of issues along the way, because let's face it, our human bodies were never meant to live that long.
See, this is interesting, Morris, because that, on the back of all the stuff you're telling me now, that renders all of the equipment, the kit we've been talking about, to be mere candy floss. We won't live longer because we've got the latest watch that does X, Y, and Z, will we? It's not necessary to us.
No, I actually think it will, because part of us living longer is this push to wellness, that what we're doing now for the first time ever is looking inside our body second by second. So the watches and the equipment will actually help to monitor how our body's doing. There's a really good story that hit the press a couple of weeks ago of a gentleman whose daughter bought him a Fitbit, that bracelet you wear to monitor your heartbeat at Christmas, and he didn't like it at all, but he wore it to make her happy. Now, he was in the middle of having a heart attack, and the Fitbit was measuring his pulse, and the person next to him understood what that meant, and they were able to get him help immediately. We're seeing doctors now referring to medical-grade devices like this, to assist patients to be monitored ongoing. So I actually think longevity is tied towards technology.
So that kind of technology, I don't know anything about the watch. Is it built into it yet?
It's built into it, but it's predominantly built into it as an app that ties up to your phone. So some of the apps are standalone, but most of them require your phone to be connected. And yes, you can then monitor how far you've walked, what your heart rate is, what your blood pressure is, all sorts of bits and pieces. That sort of insight will become ordinary over the next 5 years, but it'll be monitored not through watches, but through clothes that we wear and things that we do.
Now, these clothes, I've heard you talk about, you know, intelligent clothes. They're obviously, they're going to cost an arm and a leg for starters. So that's back to my thing about things being prohibitive because they make you look daft or they're too expensive.
They're actually, I don't think, will cost an arm and a leg. They're being sold at the moment in high-end sports stores and athletes predominantly wear them. So you can have singlets, you can have sports shorts, you can literally have shoes. All of those things are monitoring. What they've done is they've woven it into the material itself. Strangely enough, that's what it's done. And they then knit or they then make the garment as they might ordinarily do. It's you know, a couple of $100s for that, and an athlete can now afford it because it helps them. But like everything, Phil, you know, in a year or 2 years or 3 years, that'll become quite cost-effective. It'll become ordinary. So.
Finished.
Yeah, I took a breath.
Oh, great. Well, we finished anyway, Morris. Fantastic stuff. I want to get back to this in some shape or form next week. But in the meantime, have a lovely week. Do check out Morris's stuff at his Business Futurist website.